Good afternoon from the KWAT newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner. Two executives of a company with plans to build an aquaponics farm in Brookings have been indicted on wire and mail fraud. Federal prosecutors say Tobias Reitzman and Timothy Burns misled potential investors about the viability of global aquaponics. An indictment says investors were told that a nearly $11 million high-tech farm would be built in Brookings to grow fish and shrimp. The water from the fish tanks would be used to grow vegetables. Assistant U.S. Attorney Annie Hoffman says a memo to investors said the company had $5.6 million in cash, which was not true. Another $5.4 million would come from investors. Hoffman says the defendants used the investor funds for their own purposes and not for the project. Reitzman has been released on a signature bond, while Burns has a court hearing tomorrow. The South Dakota Supreme Court has upheld the murder conviction of a former police chief found guilty in the 2009 death of his pregnant fiancée. Russell Bertram was sentenced in 2016 to life in prison for fatally shooting 26-year-old Leonila Stickney. The high court this week declined to vacate Bertram's conviction. At the time of the shooting, Bertram told authorities he was putting a shotgun into his truck after a hunting trip when a weapon fired accidentally, striking Stickney. Officials accused the one-time Harrisburg police chief of shooting Stickney out of jealousy and to collect more than $900,000 in insurance benefits. A Brandon, South Dakota woman and her teenage son were arrested in connection with shots fired at homes in two northwest Iowa counties. A large collection of guns and ammunition were found in a reinforced basement room in her home. South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley says the large number of guns that were found is a concern.
You hear me oftentimes state as Attorney General, I strongly believe it's Second Amendment rights for law-abiding citizens. The problem here is, understand they're presumed innocent, but the law-abiding component was gone. And certainly it brought up alarm bells. I mean, law enforcement did an excellent job of sharing information, of really getting at the bottom of this before something further tragic happened, probably in the state of South Dakota.
Jack Lee says police may have stopped something more serious from happening.
We avoided a very significant public safety concern in this case, but certainly it's alarms, and we need to study this. How do we make sure we're doing a good job to, number one, protect law-abiding citizens' rights, but number two, to make sure if it's not a law-abiding citizen, what are we doing to protect the public? And we did just that here in this case.
50-year-old Artis Kattenberg and a juvenile male that lived with her are both in jail and facing multiple charges. Raven Industries officials announced this week that they're donating $5 million to SDSU for their new precision ag building. SDSU President Dr. Barry Dunn says the total cost of the project is $55 million, and Raven's contribution will help them in moving forward with this new facility.
We're the first land-grant university in the United States to have a precision ag major, and we have two minors in the field also. So we're leading the way, and we want to continue that, and our faculty are working in facilities that were built right after World War II, and it's very challenging for them. So we're hoping to get some newer facilities for our faculty.
He says they're also seeking legislation this session to help pay for the project.
We're still raising money privately, but we do have there's a group of supporters in South Dakota who are going to introduce a bill through the legislature. I think Lee Qualm, who's the majority leader of the House, mentioned yesterday that it was one of his top priorities for the session. So we're excited about getting some support from the legislature.
Dunn says they're not seeking general fund dollars for the project, but will need close to $31 million from the state to assist with funding for that precision ag facility.
People are asking the legislature for $30.9 million And it's not out-of-state general funds. There's a funding mechanism that we used for ADRDL last year for the Animal Disease Research and Diagnostic Lab project that is going to be proposed for this project, too.
Dunn says they have 80 students currently majoring in their Precision Ag program, which was started last year. There were approximately 35,000 flights in and out of the Pierre Regional Airport last year. Airport manager Mike Isaacs says just over 40% of those were corporate or private aviation operations. Isaacs says the Pierre Airport's commercial flight service provider, Aerodynamics Incorporated, also did very well last year.
96.4% completion factor. They have an 82.6% on time for arrivals and a 79.4% for departures. Where ADI stacks up with the nation's top 10, Delta's the third best in the world for air service on time. ADI ranked just below those guys. So that gives you an understanding of where they fit for our service in Pierre.
Both Watertown and Pierre saw more than 10,000 passenger boardings on ADI flights last year, and that makes both cities eligible to receive a $1 million federal grant to be used on airport improvement projects. The recently signed tax reform bill will show up in the paychecks of Americans this year. Changes in the federal tax code will be reflected in changes in withholding rates on a person's paycheck. The bill also reduced the corporate tax rate from 35% down to 21%. That had opponents saying it was simply a handout to wealthy businessmen and businesswomen. Congresswoman Kristi Noem, who was on the conference committee that wrote the final version of the bill, says that's not true.
Well, they're wrong. And that's one of the things that's been very unfortunate in this whole discussion is I've seen them stand on TV. I've heard them on the news say that this is a cut for millionaires, and it's absolutely not true. And now that people can look at the actual language and see how it's impacting them, they'll see that. I think that they'll see that that was a false narrative that absolutely isn't true. Every part of this discussion, when we went into that room to negotiate, was how does this help low and middle income Americans? And then what do we do to get this country growing again? And so that's why we focused on the individual tax cuts. And then, small businesses are the engines that make this country run. And we needed to lower our corporate rate to get businesses to come back to this country.
Noem will be in Milbank tomorrow to talk about tax reform and other issues during a question and answer session at the Milbank High School Theater at 1 p.m. North Dakota's Health Department has established 8 regions for medical marijuana dispensaries. The regional centers are around the state's largest cities: Fargo, Bismarck, Grand Forks, Minot, Devil's Lake, Jamestown, Williston, and Dickinson. State Health Officer Mylon Tufte says that will ensure the majority of North Dakota's population has access to a dispensary with minimum travel. State voters approved medical marijuana in November 2016, and the Health Department has been working to create the program since Governor Doug Burgum last April approved regulations crafted by lawmakers. It'll be a few months before North Dakota begins accepting applications from groups and businesses that want to set up a dispensary. Medical marijuana is not expected to be available to qualifying patients until late this year. North Dakota law allows medical marijuana for 17 medical conditions and terminal illnesses. Those are your afternoon news headlines from the KWAT Newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner.